Blog Talk Radio.
With your host, Matt Marrero, along with...
Boosh! I haven't been able to do that in a while.
Yeah, I know, sadly. But, and who am I with? Satish Ram.
Well, that kind of kills it, doesn't it?
Yeah. And we're doing another installment. We're doing, we'll talk about that soon. We're doing another installment of The Rumor Mill with WWE rumors this time around. Also, guess what, Satish? Here's a fun little fact that our, you know, listening audience might not know about. We haven't done this in literally a month to this day, the 22nd.
That's kind of scary.
Here's why it's funny and scary. Here's the thing. At first I thought, oh dear, did we forget about this? Like, did we just forget about doing the Rumor Mill every Sunday? No, we didn't, because we had an early pay-per-view this time around. So on Sunday, that took away our chance to do the Rumor Mill, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we had, I mean, yes, the week before, I think there were some issues, but in theory we could have done it. But then the week before that, we had 4th of July stuff. And then the week before that, we had Money in the Bank. And then the week before that, we did Rumor Mill. So it's very interesting how it's just, you know, oh, wait, we're supposed
to...
Oh,
we go by quickly.
They really do, and that's what's frightening, I would say. And, we were supposed to do main event tonight, but the question also becomes, what happened to Sheamus? Huh? I'm not saying that Sheamus...
This is a serious question, by the way. Like,
yeah,
I know Matt sounds like he's joking, but that's a very serious question.
And that's kind of what tempted us, even though we had a really good main event. Go check it out on the WWE Network after we're done with our show. But we didn't... I personally felt as if, because we were lied to, we wanted you guys to know how we felt. Even though you guys did know how we felt, because you were probably watching main event. But if you didn't, for some reason, now you know how we felt.
Yeah,
why
I've got nothing on the... Like, you know, the Sheamus thing. And there wasn't even... I thought I watched main event from beginning to end. And I didn't even hear a mention. Like,
which,
I swear, they retconned it and tried to make us look like idiots.
And it's funny because, you know, you think that... Okay, it's not very hard to make you and I look like idiots, right? But it's
agreed.
Very hard to make Cage Side Seats, right? A huge website that every single time there's a new show, its banner is, oh, here's the recap when it happens live. And they had, Rusev versus Sheamus on the banner.
Which made
and
us both feel better. Because we sat there like, I remember you texting me, it was Sheamus versus Rusev, right? And
no.
I'm sure half of you was expecting a text like, no, dude, it was obviously Swagger versus Rusev.
So here's the thing. I wanted to say that, even though I distinctly remember from last night, me basically calling you out on the fact that it has to be Sheamus because this is the perfect logical story progression.
Right, and I agreed with you, and I was impressed that you called it. And then it didn't happen tonight. I was so confused.
Either they really are listening to our podcast, or I would argue that the maybe it's the fact that, hey, for all we know, they're actually starting to plan things out for the future. They may have made this card for the future, and someone accidentally used it, as silly as it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, though, they announced, though, that it was going to be... Well, it's a weird situation where even if they put up the wrong card, right? Let's pretend that did happen, because it sounds silly when it's like, yeah, but the announcers called it. But are the announcers going to say that's wrong? Because remember, WWE is basically improv. You never say no. So in theory, I'm not saying that they put up the wrong card, but if they did put up something they weren't supposed to, right... What are the announcers going to say? That doesn't look right.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, so I don't think that's what happened, but it's funny because, okay, we actually do have real rumors. Like, you know, this isn't a quote-unquote real rumor in the sense that we're speculating if only because there are actual, like, there are no confirmed or not-so-confirmed reports going around right now. It's literally silence, which is actually very frightening in a way. Because I'm not saying Sheamus is dead or anything, but usually they would say, oh, yeah, so here's what happened here. You know, oh, Sheamus couldn't make it tonight. You know, like, not even the announcers saying something about Sheamus. Everyone was just acting like business was, just, you know, was going just as planned. Business as usual.
Mm.
Which
somebody
is weird.
Also mentioned to me,
right?
And I don't know if this is on Twitter, so I don't know if this is confirmed.
Hey, well, nothing
but
is truly confirmed.
But from the SmackDown taping,
the rumors. Right?
He wasn't there.
So, all right, we either have two roads to go on, and again, completely unconfirmed, but we have two roads to go on. Right? The first road is, maybe he's filming something, right? Maybe, I don't know, maybe there's something, either that or like a house show that could have taken him away that people don't know about yet, because hell, if you're at a house show, you're probably getting out right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we may have more reports, you know, closer to tomorrow night, right? Two, and I hate to say this, and I'm pretty sure this isn't it, it could be a possible injury, and I hope it's not, because, you know, I really hope it's not, because WWE does not need another champion injured right now. It's like as if they're trying, you know what I mean? Where if for some reason this happened to Sheamus, I'm looking at the Usos and I'm like, curse, don't jump, don't do these dives, just be calm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's an injury. But again, there's two roads we can go, and either one is scary because there's no reports on it. You know, no one's talking. Again,
okay, yeah, so it looks like from what I just messaged someone who I know was at the taping tonight.
Right.
And they said, no, there was no Sheamus at the SmackDown taping.
Right. So I would say then that it's, you know, it has to be either a house show or some kind of injury. I mean, there's only two ways we can really go with this, you know. Sheamus just didn't, it's not like as if Sheamus just fell asleep, didn't wake up. You know,
yeah,
like, you
I mean,
know what I mean? Like,
you know, I don't know what's going on, but here's the thing, and this ties into some of the actual rumors we have today. Sheamus could have a big part in SummerSlam.
Yes, actually, which is why it's very interesting as to why. So maybe they were trying to nix that. But it's funny how, okay, so here, let's talk about the SummerSlam thing first. Before, you know, let's jump right into this Sheamus thing, right? So you and I were praising WWE last night. For the fact that they're doing what looks to be Dolph versus The Miz, right?
Right, and doing it well so far.
And doing it well, right? And now, again, as if to say, wait a minute, no. The IWC is happy. We need to amend this. I mean, this cannot possibly happen. They are actually, again, rumors, but they're more confirmed than our speculation, right? Where at least they're confirmed rumors. We were just speculating before.
Correct.
Yeah, the rumors are that there is a slight chance that at SummerSlam we will be having a unification match with The Miz for his Intercontinental Championship versus Sheamus for his United States Championship. And by God, I honestly, even if Cena wins, I would argue that that unification match would still be the worst thing for the WWE right now. Because at least
one thing I want to throw in there that we didn't get to talk, we didn't mention right away. Is
right.
That part of it is talk about the fact that WWE is supposed to be doing their new logo soon.
Yes.
And supposedly there's talk like they want to do this unification thing with the, like coinciding it with the new logo. So they have this unified mid-card belt with the new logo or something.
Very short-sighted, though, I would argue. I mean, here's the, I'm not saying this to you, I mean like in general, because the thing is, what gets me about this is the fact that if we had guys like Triple H and the NXT people running the stories, I would argue that, yeah, I would probably be on everyone's side who says they should unify them because everyone else would have meaningful stories. But honestly, at this point, it just seems as if they're not even booking the titles correctly. So it's just, if you can't even book the titles correctly, imagine taking them away. How are we going to make new stars? You know, that's what kind of gets me, where it's just, how can anyone get over now when a belt won't even help them look credible? because you're taking away two belts and you're giving them to people like Sheamus. Because, again, hey, in a match like Miz versus Sheamus, Sheamus is going to kick his arse. You know, I got to be honest with you. And Sheamus is going to come out the unified champion. How bad is that? If both Sheamus and Cena, even if Cena loses that night, the fact that it's like trading it off to Sheamus in a way, where it's like, I had to give up my unified titles, but here, Sheamus, you take yours. We joke around about Sheamus being the mid-card Cena a lot. I don't need to see that happen.
All right, so I guess it's my turn.
Sorry.
And then it's hard to disagree with what you said.
Because
I don't know. I'm sitting here, and I didn't even like this unification thing for the main titles as much as they did, because I thought they would cut it off quickly. You know, and especially with Daniel Bryan leaving, because he was their top guy and he had the title and it was important for him, it would have made sense to de-unify them. Because if we're
exactly.
not going to have our brand split, we might as well have our two titles so you can build more people in the meantime, right? Logically,
right.
that makes sense. Apparently
yeah.
not. And we look at the mid-card, which is struggling. The mid-card is struggling, and everybody knows it's struggling. And your one, like, get-out-of-jail-free card type thing is using those titles, and titles with an S, you know, because you've already unified the tag team titles. This isn't even talked about. You've unified the tag team titles, you know, which sucks in itself.
Yeah.
So if you have three unified titles, I understand that it fits the, like, the lack of brand split era, but
yeah.
the lack of brand split era is a problem for just that.
Of course.
I mean, it's going to get stale real quick. And
it really is.
I can't get behind it. And I know there are places where, yeah, logically, it would be cool to have unified titles across the board, especially when SmackDown has become, like, a useless show, for lack
right.
of a better word right now. So, yeah, your main titles are on Raw, your pay-per-views, cool. But they're not in a place where they're telling compelling enough stories, as you were criticizing them for just now. They're not telling compelling enough stories that we want to sit here and have the one title. You know, I mean,
it
gets lazy with the fact that we have a three-hour Raw now. You
yes,
know, we don't even
exactly.
talk about this anymore because that's still a recent thing, even though because we just let it happen. A three-hour
right.
Raw, you have more time, and a main event that actually is worth watching. So, in theory, considering SmackDown being 2 hours, main event being 1 hour, and Raw being three, that's 6 hours of television you have a week to tell compelling stories, even if you were to discard SmackDown. I mean, 4 hours is a lot of time to tell compelling stories in terms of four-week breaks. And it's really hard for me to understand why they can't do that. And then when they can't do that, they decided, let's make it lazier for them. Like, let's make it worse. I don't know.
I think it's a disconnect, again, between, like, Triple H and, you know, and the people who are working in creative. Because you have Triple H, and here's, you know, and again, we always talk, you know, great things about Triple H, but it is pretty much, I would say, semi-confirmed that he's the man who's really behind and really loves this whole no-brand split situation.
Correct.
Right?
And it's funny, because
we
were just talking about his praises last night, but this is the
yeah.
black mark against.
Right. Yeah, which hey, I mean, everyone, no one's perfect, right? And I would argue that, you know, maybe back in the day, because again, back in the day with no brand split, maybe it worked, right? Maybe it did. But also back in the day, they were a lot more liberal with the usage of a lot of things that aren't so legal today, you know? So now, without the brand split,
actually.
Now you have to tell them, you have to work by the book, you can't be doing this, or that. Maybe they'll give you a little thing on the side that we don't know about, maybe to get them by, but not the way it was back then, I would argue, where I would feel like it's like, oh, hey, you know, are you doing this? No, I'm not. Fucking pussy. Again, not me saying it, probably people in the back in the day saying it. You're not on this illegal drug. What's wrong with you, you weirdo, right? So, but again, so now we jump to here where it's like, actually, you should be doing this, but there's no brand split, right? So they're working X amount of hours a week plus the house shows, right? And now you're unifying titles, which back in the day, I mean, yeah, you know, before WCW came, they did have a few more titles under their sleeve, you know, but they didn't have too many, I think, until, you know, you got things like the European title and then the hardcore belt. And then eventually you got the light, you know, the cruiserweight, and you got WCW's belts thrown in there. And I will admit, yeah, that was a time that was kind of weird, you know, when you had a lot of belts. I'll admit, that might have been a bit too weird. But having, you know, having the, you know, the United States, the Intercontinental, possibly a unified main belt, fair enough. I don't think there's that many people in the mid card. I mean, sorry, in the main event level that you do need two belts, fair enough, if you want to go there. So one big one, two, you know, mid card ones, one tag team one. And you can even have one like the TV title, the internet title, just as like a fun little thing. Where the internet title, I mean, if you really wanted to throw something in there for just entertainment value, Zack Ryder versus Dolph Ziggler, we mentioned, two people that are very popular on the internet, would be perfect. Damian Sandow, who's pretty popular on the internet now, would be a perfect contender. You know, literally the fans could vote. Who do you on the internet like to be put into this match against so-and-so? You know, making the fans seem a bit more interactive. See, these are little things they can do here or there, but they choose not to. And I don't think, here's the thing, I don't think Triple H wants it to be lazy. I think Triple H just thinks, well, this is how it worked back in my day. You know, it's the same thing with comic book creators, like writers, who they sometimes end up retconning things because they're just like, oh, I like Spider-Man when he was this way. And they don't even realize it sometimes, right? So Triple H might not be thinking, oh, I'm retconning all this because of blah, blah, blah. But then you also have Creative who, yeah, is now on the lazy side. So in a way, it's just, oh, I'm unifying the titles. And then Creative just goes, yes, you should. You know? I'm not. You know, yeah, do it, whatever. You don't have to write shit about titles now. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you point out two things that I want to hit on. I mean, one of them being the fact that, and this is obvious in what you said, but I just want to reiterate to people. So we've got no brand split these days, and they're working more house shows than ever.
Yes.
Health-wise, this is the worst it's ever been. They're being asked to do more than they ever have before. And at the same time, the roster is still really large.
I would argue that it was pretty bad because, you know, drugs ran rampant. But I would argue that while
disregarding their wrestling.
Okay, fair enough.
Time. More WWE screen time and house shows than ever before.
Right.
So they're asked to do more almost. And it's weird because it doesn't have to be that way. And I understand what you're saying about the drugs and stuff like that, because it's a whole different. But, I mean, you could argue that some of them are still allowed to do the drugs as long as they're on the good side. I mean,
I wasn't even referring to that. I was referring to more even just craziness, like the cocaine. I was literally jumping to cocaine, honestly. I mean, obviously steroids. But I was just but I understand, yes, of course.
Ooh.
I you're right. They could have more screen time, and, you know, they because here's the thing, there has always been house shows, but I would argue that they probably were not as huge as they are now in terms of the fact that now you literally have half the roster, right? Instead of just appearance by Hulk Hogan, right? Now it's just, no, here's John Cena, so-and-so, 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 and so-and-so. And they're all wrestling in a, you know, in a steel. Mind you, let's all make people remember that they'll actually do steel cage and stuff at house shows and then make it
fit
if they're not on TV.
Yeah, it'll be a feud that we're not going to see until the pay-per-view, which is sometimes annoying, I have to admit. But
yes.
Another thing you hit on is that you were talking about the championships back in the day. So when I first touched on wrestling, this was Know Your Role. I didn't watch much back then, but this was the game that I got into.
Right.
We had a WWF championship, and I think it was the unified title, the Undisputed.
Yes, the Undisputed.
So we had that. We didn't have the World Heavyweight at the time.
No.
But we did have, like, a European and a Hardcore title.
Yes, we did.
Alongside the Intercontinental title.
Yes,
alongside two tag team titles and a women's title. So without even going into the fact that we still have only one women's division title, which is still kind of not progressive.
Right.
We're now trying to reduce something. We had two main world titles that have been reduced to one. We had two tag titles that have been now reduced to one. We scrapped the Hardcore title.
Right.
Because we just didn't want to put our performers through the whole anywhere, anytime it can be defended thing anymore.
Which is very fun, I think, if they try to bring that back. That would be the best. Honestly, I think that would be the coolest thing in the world, especially if they said something along the lines of, you can only get the title, let's say, like the same person can only get it in 1 month to kind of shake things up. Damian Sandow gets it 4 times that month as different characters.
That would be very entertaining. Very, like, almost a tribute to Mick Foley kind of thing, too.
In a way, yes.
But, yeah, there's so much that could be done, and it upsets me that it seems like they're downsizing. And I don't think people are interested. Okay, I can't speak to everybody. I can't. But I don't think that's what they're looking for right now. Like, I don't think people are clamoring for this. The unification of the world titles at the time seemed really intriguing. You know,
people,
we thought,
no,
wow.
Yeah.
You know, we're kind
were.
Of bringing the Undisputed thing back. But there's a
yeah.
reason they went from the Undisputed to the two world titles.
Yeah, because they started to just – it's very interesting because I would argue – and I'm not saying that there weren't wrestlers back in the day because that's silly. But I would argue that I think they had so many titles and they only had so many top guys or people who, you know, could be top guys and still have mid-card titles to make them seem better that I think we – you know, now with all the talent that we have, I feel like we do have a more of a roster than we did back then, at least on television for that presence. You know, we have more of a roster than we did back then. Do you see what I'm saying? Where we have a lot of notable names, but they would come and go via injury or via just leaving and then coming back. So with the roster we have today, we just have a lot of talent. You know, and to say, oh, we're only going to have one, you know, oh, we're having one WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I can name probably 10 people who are now out in the cold, right, because of no World Heavyweight. Now, getting rid of – okay, fine. You push them down to Intercontinental U.S. level. Just push them down. Whatever. It's fine. No World Heavyweight, push them down there. Now taking away the United States, because I assume the Intercontinental would win because WWE title, right?
Yeah.
Taking
away one mid-card title. It doesn't take away from
now,
your point. Go on.
Now pushes down – if not 10, now 15, maybe, you know, a lot of people are now getting pushed down to the point where it's just, so then wait, how do you move up? You know, how do you, let's say they go, you know what, I want this guy to be pushed. And it's like, but what about that guy? You know what, I would like that guy to be pushed too. But how do we push them both? Well, one of them looks like WWE World Heavyweight Championship material. No, but he can't work our match now. You know, we definitely can't push him, you know, to do that immediately. Oh, well, I guess we just won't push one. We'll wait. Yeah, that's a good idea. We'll wait.
Yeah, and then you see what they've done with Cesaro.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Hasn't exactly
like,
worked out.
If we had a World Heavyweight title right now, Cesaro would be that champion for at least a year. They would have given it to him.
He could be. He could have been.
Right.
Like, you know, it's just, there's something for him to do. I mean, you look at a guy like Alberto Del Rio, right? Talented upper mid-carder, what the hell is he doing these days?
Exactly.
You know? Like, he doesn't matter anymore because there's nothing for him to do championship-wise.
Oh, yeah.
And this is going to become a constant thing.
Right.
Where, you know, I just don't get it.
We're talking about this for a while, but we're talking about it for a while because, you know, I mean, it could literally change the scope of, you know, how we view the WWE. I mean, and of course, you know, like, there are other rumors that we're going to hit on, but that's just a huge one because we've already had changes that have already screwed over people. I mean, bringing up some rumors, there were rumors that, you know, Alberto Del Rio wanted to leave. And
right.
And you might call him a crybaby, right? You might call him a perro, you know? But you sit there and you're like, wait a minute, though. You know, wait a minute.
You call him a perro?
A dog.
I know, but
because
you call him a perro?
He calls
I know,
people
I
dog.
Thought it was... Okay,
was,
okay. No, I'm just making
that
sure.
That's what I was doing. So anyway, yeah. You might say that to him because, you know, you're like, oh, yeah, that guy, you know. But you realize, wait a minute, though. He has talent. He really does. Maybe not on the mic, you think, but he has talent in the ring. Right, and it's very funny how some people go, but he's not good on the microphone. That's right, because in WWE, even though I love performers, you know, speaking roles, I'm a huge fan of acting, want to be an actor. Still, you sit there and you go, yes, because that's what they're there in WWE for, not to fight or anything, right? So he's really good fighting in the ring. And yet, for some reason, like you said, he's not doing anything, and he talks about leaving because, yeah, why would you not want to leave? Like, honestly, I'd rather him leave at this point with the fact, you know, with what he's doing. I mean, he's going to, even though it's going to be a good match, and it's good that he's going to carry Reigns, on Friday, he's going to fight, or technically tonight, if, you know, live, he fought Reigns, and he probably lost. You know, he's now jobbing out to megastars. Because, you know, to people who are getting that rocket push, because for some reason he can't now, for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Just, nope, he can't be our world, you know, WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Well, he could have been your World Heavyweight. He was your World Heavyweight. Oh, well. Mm.
Yeah, Alberto was constantly in World Heavyweight feuds for a while, and that was good for him because it was his place. He was not a big WWE's championship
yeah.
guy. but he was a World Heavyweight Championship guy.
Exactly.
And now,
yeah,
like, there are a few guys who fit that classification. And
yeah,
it really makes me wonder what they're thinking of doing, because you're really limiting your options to people who have proven that they can barely multitask with stories, which
yeah,
is why that may help them. But at the same time, you're leaving so many people out to dry. So,
yeah,
like, I can understand if you want to make the argument, and this is a horrible argument, by the way, creative is incompetent, they can't multitask, let's give them less things to think about and they'll do better. Okay, I accept that. But then what happens to the 20 or so, even if we go low, and I'll estimate with, like, Matt, you know, 10 to 15 people who are
right,
hurt by this, what happens to these people? What
that's
happens
what, that's
to quality
yeah,
tie-in? And not even a whole what happens to them in, like, a oh, so sad kind of way. Also, why would you not want to put on the best product you possibly can?
Yeah,
no,
it's
when
it,
you
it's
have
the
talent
point,
available, and we know you have the talent available, and that's not even considering people who are in NXT and really freaking good, and
it's
will
getting,
eventually be up to do things too.
You know, we're about to move on. Before I do, I just want to finish with one last thing. It's getting to the point, and you know, tell me if you agree or not. It's getting to the point, I think, where it seems as if instead of WWE being a product that everyone can really enjoy and get into, which I'm not saying it isn't, but it's, you know, also, right, on a side note, it's not just that, where you sit there and you go, oh, that's really cool, it's really cool. No, it's a performance center overall for people to go to it, say, I actually want to leave now, and then when they go back to the indies, say, I was in the WWE, pay me more. And you're like, you know what? Yeah, and he was good in WWE. He's even better here now. Pay him more. You know, pay him more than he ever would have gotten had he not gone into WWE. I feel like that's kind of where we're going, where it's just, you know, it's just people are just going to sit there and be like, wait, so there's actually no upward mobility at all? And you're not even a comedy character. Yeah, I'm not. I'm kind of just here. Because ADR isn't even meant to be funny or jobbed out or doing something. He's literally just standing there.
Yeah, that's
just waving. Thing.
We have guys that are just not doing anything on the roster.
And it's
how?
Fine if they have, and it's fine if they have meaningful stories. But again, we aren't getting as much of that. And now taking away a second title, you know, a guy like Miz, even though I'm, you know, I'm not saying he deserved the title, but a guy like Miz would have just been a douchebag.
That's what I'm saying. Miz would have no plausible reason to be around. And
yeah,
at least with the championship, his heel run is going to mean something. You know,
exactly.
But if he loses it to Sheamus in his unification thing, I just, like, I really don't know. I'm left here
no,
just telling you a billion times. I don't know, man. I really don't know what the hell
yeah,
you're thinking.
I, that's why I said there's a disconnect. Speaking of NXT, and I say disconnect because, you know, I bring up NXT, whatever, we would like to mention that Kenta, you know, has been signed. We don't know where he's, we don't know when he's appearing, but we do know, we mentioned this last night, check out this video on YouTube with him in NXT. He isn't wrestling just yet. It's him talking to Renee Young with translator Funaki.
Funaki!
By the way.
I
yeah,
know, that made me so
and,
happy, dude.
And he basically, and he says, you know, and he says to Renee Young, because Renee's like, oh, so what are you here to do? And, you know, Funaki, it's funny because you can tell that Kenta understands everything that Renee is saying, but he has Funaki there just for support, just in case,
yeah, Funaki's
you know,
like a safety net. You can tell he's pretty solid there. But,
yeah,
you know, what was he here to do, Matt?
He was to kick your ass.
And
right?
I like that just, because in my head, I was like,
right,
apparently Kenta's in an angle with Renee Young.
I know, right? And Renee was loving it. She's like, you can kick my ass any day of the week because you're from... Hell, the fact that she mentioned Noah really got me. I was like, Renee, that's not part of your job. You didn't talk about the network once. Like, Renee.
Yeah, she'll be fired and on her way to ESPN soon. No, but...
Hey, again, another thing. Good for her. She'll be getting great money at ESPN, and she'll probably be treated better. Honestly.
I don't know. I want to go work for ESPN. I would love if ESPN would hire me, but they will never. That being said,
right?
Yeah,
but anyway,
the
so,
Kenta thing is awesome because
yeah,
they're playing it up now and they're mentioning it like it was posted on their Instagram today again. Like it was like
yeah,
Kenta, Vince, and Triple H. I was like, oh, that's
right,
awesome. Now we just want to see when it happens because
right,
NXT's been
yeah,
pretty solid lately. Not to lie, I mean, I was rewatching some of it today, and
yes,
you know, shout out to Big Cass, who I've never actually shouted out before because he's from Queens. So,
oh yeah,
you know,
and also I can't believe I forgot his name, but there's a new guy there's a new guy right on the scene at NXT, and he looks like Taz, and I was like, that's funny, he looks just like Taz, and he's talking, and he's from New York, and I'm like, ta, like he looked and sounded like Taz, and I was like, that guy's gonna go far, and he was really good too, and they were touting him as like a technician kind of guy, like a specialist, and I was like, oh, that's really cool. So yeah, two guys
yeah,
right
NXT
now.
NXT has a lot of really entertaining people. Like the Vaudevillains I was rewatching today, and
oh my god, I love them. I love them. Yeah,
their promos and their entrance. They interrupted an interview with Kalisto, and what made me so happy is
right.
that the second they interrupted the interview, the screen turned black and white. It was a perfectly normal interview in color and everything. As soon as they walked in, the screen turned black and white.
They hold
That's
up a
true.
Sign. Where's your partner?
And they say nothing.
And Callisto's like, we've decided to part ways, but I can find someone to face you next week. You up for it? What's the matter? Speechless? And walks away. And I was done. And NXT continues to be very entertaining TV. I mean, in many weeks, outside of this one, because Raw is very good, it exceeds Raw.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, that we have a lot of hope for the future. That's why I was telling you last night, and I'm still
no,
a
don't.
Firm believer.
They're going to unify the titles, and the NXT people will have nothing to do.
Yeah, well, but again, no, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying in the future, slow, but it's happening. We are going to have the older people being replaced by new NXT people, be it on the roster or front, you know, in the back. It's going to happen. I mean, you know, it's that simple. It's going to happen. There's nothing, you know, but it's just the problem is that it might not happen soon enough. Like, we may seriously sit here and just say, screw it, and then 2 years later, 3 years later, all of a sudden it's just, you know, Vince McMahon is gone. Everyone's being replaced. And we're like, damn it! You know?
Yeah,
it's like, now we have to come, right? Now we have to come right back in. But anyway, speaking of, we were talking about SummerSlam before, right?
Correct.
And what matters is that Kenta's going to be at SummerSlam. No. It would be nice, though, but Kenta will not be at SummerSlam. Brock Lesnar will be, though, obviously. And as in the worst-kept secret in WWE history, no, not about Pat Patterson. Actually, about the fact that Brock Lesnar will be beating John Cena at SummerSlam.
That was an underrated
Did you know
comment.
That?
I'll give you credit for that. But in terms of this, okay, I'm still scared to accept it. I'm really sorry.
Mm.
But, like, there's still a voice in my head that thinks Cena could win here.
You've been spending way too much time watching Randy Orton matches. See?
No, like, I honestly feel like there's a moment where, like, let's say next week, right?
Mm-hmm.
We find out Daniel Bryan's recovery isn't going as well as it is. You know, it should be.
Right.
There's panic in the office. Cena's winning. Like, I'm afraid of this happening. I'm not saying
thing.
That Cena's winning right now, by the way. But
here's
I'm saying, like, I am afraid until it actually happens.
Here's the thing. They're smart enough, I would argue, right? And I know it's scary to say because it's WWE here, but I would argue that they are smart enough to understand, right, that at the very least, Cena made people want to get rid of their subscriptions, right, when he won. But it made the kids interested. Now you see Cena lose, right? That makes us interested. And then the kiddies are like, I want to see, because the kiddies are so young, they don't think, well, I guess I don't want to spend more money on this. You know, or tell my parents not to spend more money. No, they're like, please get it, Mom. I want to see John Cena win. Regardless, they want to see John Cena win. Right?
But here's the thing now.
Right.
Oh, actually, no. Finish up and then I'll comment.
I was going to say, regardless, they want to see John Cena win. So having John Cena win for SummerSlam will pretty much, like, they'll look at their numbers and they'll possibly, because of the fact that there's only really hardcore fans buying it now, I would argue, the network, their numbers would severely drop. Because people would just say, whatever, streams still exist. Because they do. I'm not saying you should go watch it. Please go get the network. But streams still exist. Like, they didn't just stop. So that's what I'll say to that.
Yeah, for me, I just... Okay, I'll give you, let's say Lesnar wins. And that's a good point. You know, Lesnar should win at SummerSlam.
Right.
If he loses it, the title to Cena at Night of Champions,
which
doesn't
is a
that take it all away?
It would, yes, and it's something
okay.
just sleazy
so
that WWE
you're on
would
that
do.
Page with me,
oh
that,
yeah, no, it would be sleazy, but I would have to clap for WWE because that's a sleazy yet smart move, and at the very least, Lesnar won. And remember something: even if Cena wins, it might sound silly, but Lesnar also gets his rematch.
Right.
So I know it's
Cena
silly,
Lesnar
but,
3, but with Cena coming out on top.
Which would suck, I will admit, but we don't know that far yet. But the rumor does say that it is confirmed that Lesnar is winning. Pretty much confirmed. All but confirmed. I mean, hell, you know, at least they're, you know, obviously they're going to be in a match together. All but confirmed that he's going to win. But the issue is there's no confirmation on what's going to happen at Night of Champions. That's why Satish brought up the fact that what if Cena wins? Because there are no definite plans about him winning or not. But here's the thing, though. See, with the way Brock is, though, with, you know, the dates and everything, I would argue that even though I'm not saying I would like this, right, other, you know, if the choice is between Brock and Cena, I would argue that Brock should just leave. You know what I mean? Because he's like, oh, you know, Paul Heyman, you know, oh, my client's doing this for the money. If you're not giving him, you know, his dates, he'll leave. He will, you know, come back only at pay-per-views, right? Or he'll be back in 2 months. And if anyone has a huge problem with that, like, you know, like, oh, Triple H, why aren't you having a problem? You should take it off him. You took it off Daniel Bryan. And he goes, well, I mean, champion isn't John Cena. Right?
So, I would love some kind of thing where, like, if Brock ends up, like, winning the championship and has to defend it, you know,
right,
for the 30-day rule, they have him defend it against, like, someone like Zack Ryder.
Exactly.
Just randomly. You know, where
that's
like,
what I'm saying. Like,
oh, Brock, you haven't defended your title in 30 days. Zack, get out here. You're in a WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
I have a question.
What?
Brock kills him in a second? I have a question, by the way. If someone did not show up, right, to a match, let's say they were beaten up in the back, and they had to forfeit, they would not lose the title, would they?
Boy.
What if they just do that? Brock Lesnar versus so-and-so. We're like, it says 5 minutes on the card. Like, what are you doing here? Like, is this a squash match? Like, what? Mm. Oh, Brock Lesnar is in the building. Where is he? I don't know where he is. Like, they could even have pre-established, you know, film footage of him being in the building. But it's like, what, he's not there? You know, oh, well, I guess it's a no contest. The winner of this match is John Cena. However, still, your WWE World Heavyweight Champion, Brock Lesnar.
I don't know, because I know that's interesting. Because, actually, no, it wouldn't. You know why? Because
why?
It would technically count as a count-out. And the championship cannot change hands via count-out.
No, I don't mean that Brock Lesnar doesn't. No, but I mean, like, in Brock Lesnar retaining, though.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Because
that's what I'm saying.
If Brock has
he's
the title,
in the building.
Yes,
that's what I'm saying.
If Brock has the title and he doesn't show up for the match, it's technically a count-out. And, like, a forfeit is technically a count-out. So the championship can't change hands.
Right. So in theory, they can
say,
hey, Brock was here. Hey, Brock was here. I don't know what happened. But I mean, Brock
would be horrible.
It would be so shitty, but it would. How much heat, though, would the authority get if for some reason they're tied
into it? How much heat would WWE get after half-copying? Like, Battleground sucked. So,
that is true. That is true, I would argue.
Like, it's not like they're on a string of great pay-per-views where it's like, okay,
you can pass. Here's the thing, they would have to do something crazy where they would have to get, like, some, like, the authority would have to have, like, a segment at the end, and they'd also have to have a huge loaded up card beforehand, where it's just like, was the Miz set on fire? That kind of level of, like, whoa, like,
wow.
Yeah.
You caught my interest with the Miz being set on fire. Maybe I'll allow them to do that.
See, what I'm saying? Like, it has to be at that level, where it's just like, you know, it's like, did Sheamus eat lime?
Getting set on fire?
Maybe he is. Maybe Sheamus set him on fire. Like, and it wasn't even part of the match. Like, it was an accident. Like, his red hair just caught a flame. Like, what if that happened? No, because he has red hair. I did not make reference to, you know, Irish. He has red hair. Some people have red hair, fiery red hair. Like, Eva Marie got her hair dyed red, and it's like fire, baby, red all over, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so...
It looks hot, I don't care what any people think. Anyway.
It does, but, you know, she needs to start working.
Oh, yeah, she needs work. She doesn't belong in WWE. But...
Hey, we had this discussion last night, man. She belongs in WWE, just at NXT.
I think she'd be a great valet.
Okay, fair enough. Great valet, but she also belongs in WWE. She does. At the lowest totem pole in NXT. Lowest of the low, not even on television. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, well, no, the first hour of NXT, basically. You know, because NXT is a 2-hour show; it just doesn't really get aired.
Correct.
Fully. Yes, that's what.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
saying.
What I mean. House
shows
for NXT.
Oh, fair enough. Yes, sorry. Yeah, that's what matters. That's where she needs to be. She does not in any way need to be, you know, on the main roster right now. But anyway,
agreed.
Moving back to rumors, there's a few other matches set in stone, or pretty much set in stone in the rumor mill. And I know one of them was Brie versus, not Brie, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Brie versus Stephanie?
Yep. For her job back.
Nikki. Oh, I thought it was Nikki. I'm so sorry. Yes. Which may, I mean, this is more of speculation than rumor, but may even have Nikki turning on her sister. You know, I know it sounded weird, like a vampire thing. It sounded like a vampire thing. No, but it actually like can happen. I mean, again, rumors. But we've also had these seeds of doubt that Stephanie has been planting, which, again, I think to the rumor mill, I remember hearing this, I forgot how long ago, you know, in the rumor mill, it could pop up, you know, because, again, WWE isn't the best at things, but one thing that they are really good at is throwing things to the wall and hoping that one day someone will remember that they threw it and be like, yeah, see, we planned that. So if Nikki turns on her sister, there we go. If she doesn't, maybe one day, or if not, it was just Stephanie being a heel, you know? Again, WWE is a huge fan of that. Where if for some reason they do turn Cesaro on Heyman against Lesnar because maybe they realize, shit, we need to do this, right? All of a sudden they go, see, you saw the animosity there when he was like, I'm not a Paul Heyman guy. See, look at that. Look at that. Put it in a package.
Right?
And it makes it look so big and so threatening and like, yeah, you know. Like one day people will be, the WWE are trying to promote how cool it was when Goldust and Stardust became a thing together. And I'll be like, yeah, like, you know, Cody was on a losing streak for a few weeks, for months, you know? Yeah, he was on a losing streak for a few weeks, and then all of a sudden he became Stardust, and everything became cool. For months he was losing. I wasted my life for that, you know? But again, the magic of the future in video packaging makes things seem so much better than they once were.
Agreed.
Yeah. But, so there's Lesnar, Cena, right? The second one is Brie and Stephanie.
Righto.
Could you remind me of the other two?
Are Dean Seth.
Oh, of course. Dean and Seth, obviously. And then the fourth one?
I'll think about that for a second. I'll check. But,
Dean and
Roman
Seth
Reigns
is always
and Randy
the...
Orton.
Right. Dean and Seth is pretty obvious, I would say. And it's also,
and
you know.
It promises to be something really, really good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would argue that before even seeing the match, that will be the match of the night.
Yeah, arguably that's got to be the match of the night. I mean, in terms of first guessing this stuff, because,
yeah.
Wow. I mean, the story is really entertaining. And these are guys who are just legendary performers in Ring of Honor. And leading into WWE, I mean, this has got to be a big thing.
And it's a pay-per-view. And from what we've seen, this is, again, also speculation, but I would argue that this is, you know, fairly accurate. From what you've seen from the, you know, from some of the Raws and the SmackDowns, when they're told to, you know, tone it down a bit, right? Although we are going to have Ambrose versus Cesaro again on SmackDown, so if we're lucky, we'll get an actual match out of that and really see how good they are. Because sometimes SmackDowns will bring out really good matches. I mean, we've had Daniel Bryan and Cesaro on SmackDown, and by God, that was such a good match. You know, so we can have good matches there, right? So we could have that, right? And so, again, pay-per-view, they're told, yeah, people are watching this, go all out, you know? I mean, yeah, we argue that this last pay-per-view wasn't as good, but again, I think that's because everyone involved knew where they were going. And it wasn't really a lack of wrestling talent. It was more of a lack of story progression. But anyway, so we can have a really good match between Dean and Rollins. An amazing match. Because, like you said, they have the backgrounds for it, which is why it's kind of upsetting as to why they're not being pushed as, you know, the top guy. I kind of understand why right now. I like where they are right now. But if either of the two never get the chance to be WWE World Heavyweight Champion or whatever the top title is called at the time, that would anger me. Not
gonna
lie.
I'm pretty sure that Rollins is going to win his cash-in.
Yeah. I would assume so as well. But, so we have, you know, that's going to be a great match. Because, again, they're going to be told, go nuts, pay-per-view, go nuts. And then, you know, and always the Raw after, they really kind of ride them a bit less. So they say, go nuts, and then they won't be going as nuts the next night, usually. They're very, you know, in relax mode, usually, the Raw after.
Right.
And of course, you know, we mentioned John Cena and Lesnar. We mentioned Stephanie and Nikki. We mentioned We mentioned Ambrose and Rollins. And then who was the fourth again?
Roman Reigns and Randy Orton.
Right. It's funny because I keep on forgetting, not exactly because it's forgettable. I don't want to use the word forgettable, but I want to use the word predictable, that it really doesn't even need to be mentioned. Because I will admit, yes, Ambrose and Rollins is predictable, but they've given us so much to it that it's like you really want to see what's going to happen. With Roman Reigns and Randy Orton, we know that Roman Reigns is getting this mega push. I admit that he does look the part better than Cena, I would argue, to get that mega push, you know, where he just looks huge. So like I feel like him being this, that's why actually I would say that when he beat Randy Orton and Kane in that handicap match, it didn't seem like lol Cena wins or lol Roman wins. No, it looked as if that guy's a big guy, you know, like he's huge. Like if Goldberg did that, you'd be like, yeah, it's Goldberg, whatever,
right?
And you would go
right,
on with your day. Yeah, you'd go on with your night, you know. So that's how I feel about Reigns. But again, because of that predictability, it's hard to be interested in a match like this with Randy, especially when the straps aren't on the line. If titles were on the line so early, I'm not saying that I would, you know, put him on Roman or whatever, but I'd be interested, you know, if Roman fought anyone with the titles on the line. I'd be like, oh, that's an interesting matchup. But now, you know, what is he really fighting Randy for? I would say, you know, I mean, if they're smart, they would kind of spice this up with his contendership being on the line.
I
know it's not a money in the bank
thing. What it'll be is that Randy is probably going to be the one laying the challenge to Roman, where he's just like, you've been a freaking thorn in my side, and apparently I need to do more to get back on Triple H's radar, so I need to kick your ass. And Roman's going to be like, kick my ass. That's a good deal.
Yeah,
little man.
I would say, though, that I would like him to somewhat put up his number one contendership, if only because
if that could be done, I think that's a very cool stipulation. And
I think it would.
It would
anything
be interesting
can be done.
Like, I want to see something like that happen, and under the, like, I want Triple H to make it happen. You know, I want him to lead to that to happen, where he's pressuring Randy to do it, or he basically lays the line for Randy, because Randy's going to be pissed next week when he's going to be like, I freaking was going to be the number one contender, and freaking, you know, and that got taken away from me.
Right. I would say that I would like Randy to do it, if only because, you know, it's cockiness on Randy's part, and I feel as if because it's his thing to own, it's his thing
to
give up.
By the way, just back me up. Roman attacked Randy last night, right?
Yes.
Okay, because in my head I couldn't picture it, but I knew that's what happened.
Is that bad? Just, by the way, everyone, Satish Ram has very bad memory. Although he has very good Ram, but he has very bad memory.
But I have really bad memory, so I forgot things I did yesterday. But yeah, so because I was thinking, like, that's also set up in itself, where Randy's just going to be like, I was a minute away from being announced to be in a championship match, and you cost me that. I'm going to kill you.
I agree. I just really do wish that they make sure to say, oh, you know, to have Randy give it up. You know what I mean? Like, put it on the line to say, oh, I'm so much better than you in a match. You know, you haven't pinned me. I haven't pinned you, in theory. I'm assuming that's accurate.
I mean, it's possible it could happen. For me, I think I'd be more interested in a gimmick match than a stipulation.
Because,
not to say that's not a great idea, because it certainly is. But, excuse me, if they made, like, an ODQ, it'd be enough for me to, like, care.
Oh, yeah. If they did what you're suggesting,
I would be like, this is a must-see moment. But if they made an ODQ, I'll care. I just need to care.
True. Oh, no, that's true. Yeah, I know, that's true. I need to care. And I really want to push for the stipulation, not because I want Roman Reigns to just immediately get the chance to be the challenge. No, I want it because of the fact that Randy Orton to fight Lesnar, I feel like it would be so much work that WWE wouldn't want to put into it to make him not a face, you know.
A continuity thing for you, isn't it? Because you want continuity to be, like, you know, you want them to care about that championship shot.
Right, exactly. And that's why I'm happy that they are caring about it
again. At least mention
it,
right.
So I know that they're going to, like, if Randy keeps it, he's going to fight Lesnar. Right. The problem is that I don't want them to turn him into a face in the process or anything like that, because that's silly. Nor do I want Lesnar to turn him
into. I'll give you this, which may actually be worse.
Right.
Lesnar wins. Immediately they're going to do Lesnar Cena 2. right? They're
right.
not going to take a break from that. So
right.
if Cena wins again at Night of Champions, then we have Cena Orton 9 again.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we
and
could get
that's
so
not
much
exactly
worse.
Good either.
No, that's what I'm saying. So I hope that if they can take that off of, you know, of Orton, put it on Reigns, and if Reigns is really the, you know, the guy who assesses and attacks, right, he uses it like someone would use a Money in the Bank contract, where it's just, you know, it's like, oh, so you want to, you know, like, whoever's the champion, oh, you want to fight my guy? You know, it's like, I assess and I attack. I will fight when I want to fight, da-da-da-da. Right? Instead of basically just saying, yeah, you know, like, I know he's young and he thinks he's tough, but it would be really silly if he just goes, yeah, I'm going to fight you, Brock. Like, what? Like, you just walk up to people and just say that? Yeah, I'll fight you at the mm-hmm. pay-per-view. Like, no, you assess, you attack, you use it just like Rollins would. And he's the kind of, because again, you really want to make him seem like he's not just this big tough guy. He actually comes in, he looks at everyone, and then he knows how to beat him up. Then, yeah, you know, give him that shot, but don't use it so early. And have him realize, like, let me use it when I can, when I need to, when it looks like it is the right opportunity. And he can do that. Not just like a Money in the Bank ladder match. Yeah, there's going to be some buildup, but it doesn't have to be as if, you know, Brock Lesnar wins. Now it's Roman Reigns, Lesnar. You know, no.
I gotta be honest
with
you. I don't think that's something they would ever pull the trigger on.
I know it would. It sounds.
Because
I understand.
Like, I started having some thoughts there just now that I thought would be cool.
Right.
Like, imagine Roman does win in your scenario, right?
Right.
And let's say Cena's a champion.
Yeah.
At one point, Cena's down, so Rollins is about to come out.
Yeah.
But Reigns comes out too.
Oh yeah.
So they run into each other.
I think it would be great if Rollins comes through the entrance, Reigns is running down
the stairs.
Like, the stairs.
That's exactly what I was picturing. And
yes.
they both get to the ring at the same time. And they're like, get the fuck out, get the fuck out. And they start fighting. And then boom, Reigns, Rollins at a mid-card pay-per-view.
And then Cena FUs both of them.
Stacked on each other.
Stacked on each other. And he can do it because of steroids.
Stacks on stacks on stacks. It's also available in the video game, so of course you can do it.
Actually, that would be something very interesting to see in 15, if they keep, you know, if they just expand on that. That would be very interesting. The fact that you can actually do double finishers now, very interesting. But anyway, before we have to wrap everything up, we also have this minor RVD injury, which is, it's scary if only because, yeah, it's minor, but just like the shame, like now something I didn't really pick up on, but now I really have to put it out there before we go. They didn't mention RVD's injury till it was very lightly mentioned on WWE.com. Very lightly, like a peck on the cheek, you know, just innocently just thrown out there, like, yeah, there you go, take it. And we're like, oh, that's why he wasn't there, even though he was promoted, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then now we have Sheamus not being there and not even a mention. That's now I'm starting to worry that they're in so much of a panic mode that they're actually thinking, no one needs to know if someone gets injured, no matter how major or minor it is. Let's just pretend like everything's okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of confused because, I mean, if Sheamus is hurt.
Right.
You know? Now we've got RVD hurt, and it's just like,
Well, RVD is so minor that he's probably going to be back next week,
which is cool.
Right, yeah. But you know, you look at Sheamus, and it's just because again, I would argue that it's a championship curse. Wouldn't it be great where they're just like, oh, it's a championship curse. Get rid of all of the championships. I'm sorry, what? Replace them with the WCW equivalents. I'm really confused. Give people television titles. I don't know. Do something. You're the boss. You know,
television titles would be cool. I'm with that, man. The television championship.
I will admit, yeah, I would be. Honestly, as silly as it sounds, I would have a network championship. As silly as that sounds,
it's
because
funny
because
I agree. It sounds silly.
Yeah.
Conceptually, though, I would completely understand that.
Yeah, and it can. And honestly, I would give that to someone like The Miz, who just says, I only appear on the bigger screen. You know, I don't appear on, you know, I don't fight on television. I'm a movie guy. All right? You know what else gets streamed? Movies on Netflix. You know what else gets streamed?
Random criticism of the network.
Right. Yeah.
You mentioned this before, but they need to update their freaking sliders. They're switching between main event and the WrestleMania rematch for Rey Mysterio.
Yes.
It was Fandango and Summer Rae as a couple.
Ah, by sliders, by the way, everyone, what Satish is referring to is they make things, months, in advance for the network to put on there, like little things like it might be like people in interviews, like, or, sometimes they'll like people talking about their matches. And of course you are referring to the sliders, like the bumps saying watch the WWE Network or something.
It was a switch between, and it was the full screen one, where it was like, I watch the WWE Network because it's smooth or something, like me.
Yeah.
Something like that. And he holds open his arms, and Summer Rae dances into them, and they're smiling together.
Yes, no, Bray Wyatt.
And I'm sitting there like, guys.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry, one of those. No, I thought you were referring to one of the, like, the interviews.
No, not the little mini ones in, like, the bottom corner.
Right.
Like, the
No, you mean, like, the bumpers.
Right,
the bumpers. Yeah. I don't know what you mean by bottom corner, because for me, that's my screen. When they go, when the show is over, and then that just becomes the. But anyway, no, you mean like the bumpers when they're just like Bray Wyatt will say, like the Revolution will be televised on the WWE Network. It's like, even though you shouldn't be shilling the network, that's really cool, Bray. Yeah. So before we have to go, again, thank you guys for listening in, and RVD. He's a little hurt. Hopefully Sheamus isn't hurt, because if it is, I mean, in a way, it gives other guys some room to shine, which is always nice, but it really has to make them sit there and think, because here's the thing, right? And we have to do this really quick, but I just want to say, Daniel Bryan, you can argue that, he's a tiny guy. Screw that guy, right? Fernando, this is WWE talking, not me. He's a Mexican. Okay, Vince. Bad news Barrett. Well, I mean, Swagger did that one because, that guy,
Dude, real quick, though, imagine with Sheamus, right? Imagine if this happens a month later and he had the Unified title.
That would have been hilarious. I'm sorry to say that. I have to laugh, if only because...
It would have been horrible, wouldn't it?
Horrible, but it just would make me laugh because it's like, look what you guys are doing to your talent. Because again, as the show keeps on going, it's like, that's when Vince starts to dawn on him, like, the guy that I was pushing, Bad News Barrett, is it his fault too, right? Now Sheamus, and it's what can you say if this NRVD as well, where it's just, we shouldn't have a guy like that here making our talent look good. You know what I mean? Like, it's happening to so many people that eventually, who can you start to blame? And, how can you, at first it's pointing the finger at them. And I understand that in a way, because it's like, Daniel Bryan works a very, this kind of style, and he's small, and blah, blah, blah. But eventually, you can't just keep on pointing the finger. Eventually, it's like, we screwed up, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering when that moment is going to come to them, if it's already there, if they've realized it, and if they understand that, it's not coming from telling them to stop working grueling matches and making TV less entertaining. It's by making sure that they can work grueling matches in a schedule that doesn't involve them working matches on one night after the other, or sometimes twice on the same night. But it's okay, they're protected, they're in a tag team match. It's like, they were still working two matches a night, You could argue that NXT does that in their taping blocks, but then they kind of get off for a while, Because all they do is NXT. But anyway, sorry, we ended that on a strange note. But hey, again, thank you guys for listening to those guys. Thank you for listening to the Rumor Roundup, the Rumor Mill. Rumor Mill Roundup. We got many of these rumors from Cage Side Seats, a really amazing site that you should go to if you want to learn about anything, wrestling-related. I mean, all the latest news and stuff is put on there, and it's really cool, I would say. Right? Cage Side Seats?
Yeah, I mean, I love Cage Side. I mean, so much so that I got you into it, because I worked at the website. Community's excellent. The authors are excellent. Why not?
Exactly. And again, so thank you guys for listening to those guys. Like us on Facebook, because on Facebook we will be posting basically all of our shows. That's where we post our shows, right? So if you somehow stumbled upon this, awesome. If you heard about it from a friend, even better. Like our Facebook page, because you'll be able to get, more WWE shows that we do, some Dragon Ball Z stuff, Dragon Ball Z movies, This Week in Comics, we usually do shows like that. And we do a lot of different varied shows. And, like our Facebook, Those Guys on the Radio, or just Those Guys if you're searching it. And, you'll see a lot of our cool stuff.
follow us on Twitter at ThoseGuysRadio, or shoot us an email for any advertising or collaboration work at ThoseGuysOnTheRadio@gmail.com. We'll get back to you as soon as possible.
Of course. And, you know, sadly, I've ended on this note. If I have to say this to you, right? So John Cena loses to Brock Lesnar, right? And then he wins against him, you know, at Night of Champions, right?
Yeah.
What if this song is playing him out?
In the 1980s, a group of impressionable young men watched way too much television. Today, they survive as defenders of that forgotten era. If something or someone from the 80s is in jeopardy, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the Chain Gang.
This is terrible. With the 80s held hostage, I'm history. My only hope is to find the Chain Gang.
The Chain Gang? I hear they're terrific. Will there be anything else, sir?
Not unless you can help me find the Chain Gang.
You're in luck. Because you just found them.
Oh, you done did it now. Chaos, you should have put this one in the vault, man. They not ready. They don't know what's coming, man. Oh, we gotta drop this on them right here. Y'all ain't ready for this. Y'all ain't ready for none of this. Your boy's a bad man. And when you're invading the streets, make only clapper rappers stir. They be dropping the heat. Shock the world, now I'm standing alone. I flip fools like them clamshell cellular phones. You can't help but nod your head to the track. Fuck the water down rap, we be taking it back. Give it to me straight, ain't no chasing it. Check yourself in the mirror, ain't no facing it. Cause you playing the role and you planning to fold. It's the master plan, we got the planet on hold. We all over the streets like your favorite sneaker. Breaking up your sound like a drive-thru speaker. Everything that I be spitting is wrong. After I rock, fast forward through the rest of the song. We the monkey wrench that's gonna ruin your plan. And don't fuck with John Cena, I'm a bad man.
With the mic in my hands, I'm a bad man. Even in a fight with my hands, I'm a bad man. Living in the streets all my life, I'm a bad man. I'm a bad man, I'm a bad man. With the mic in my hands, I'm a bad man. Even in the fight with the hands, I'm a bad man. Living in the streets all my life, I'm a bad man. I'm a bad man, I'm a bad man.
We devils, rocking ambient levels. We set loose on the hot tunes and instrumentals. And cast shots one liners, I drop several.